Good morning, brothers and sisters. And taking this time, I would also like to thank all of you for giving me the privilege to come and then bring the word to all of you. Even as I was studying through the book of Galatians, I myself has been edified. And I want to thank you that you have given me that privilege to study the word and to bring the word to all of you. We have been going through the book of Galatians, and the last time that I preached on that book was a while ago. So this book is about coming back to the gospel. That's what we understood even in our previous study of this passage, of this book. And Paul told the Galatian believers about coming back to the gospel because they had deviated from the gospel. They had went astray from the gospel. And why does that happen? Why did that happen in the Galatian church as well? Because they were not devoted to the gospel. They were not devoted to the gospel. And therefore, they went away from the gospel. And this deviation was because there were false teachers in that church, as it is true even today. When we look around ourselves, amongst ourselves, what do we see? We see that we have false teachers even among ourselves. And this message of the book of Galatians to come back to the gospel is not only for them, it is for us as well. It is true for us as well. We have to come back to the gospel. We have to stick to the gospel. What is this false teaching that we see in our world today, in our own churches today? Don't we hear about the health, wealth, prosperity gospel, where people teach us that if we come to Christ, then we will have good health. There will no longer be any suffering for us. Don't we hear that? Don't we hear from others about the work-based salvation, that if you do good works, then you can be saved. If you come to church, if you read your Bible, then you can be saved. Don't we hear false teachings like that? Don't we see false teachers and hear from them about the license to sin? Don't they give us the license to sin by giving us a false gospel? That if you come to Christ, He's so graceful that you can sin. He will forgive you, so you can continue to sin. Don't we hear false teachings like that? It is there in the church today, brothers and sisters. I was in a meeting once, and I was convicted of my sin, and I was called forward to come and then pray. And one lady came to me. My eyes were closed. She came to me and she said to me, "You are good. You are good. You are good." She kept repeating those words into my ears. What was she doing? She was preaching to me a false gospel. She was letting me see the good in me, though I don't have any. I don't have any good. Only God is good. He didn't point me to God. He didn't point me to Christ. But He pointed me to myself, that I'm good. That's a false gospel. And therefore, we have to be devoted to the gospel. Even as you look into your own work life, I think you are surrounded by a lot of colleagues. You are surrounded by a lot of friends who preaches to you something else other than the gospel. Maybe there's a lot of pressure where you tend to compromise the gospel. Maybe your friends are very intellectual and you don't want to preach the simplicity of the gospel. Maybe your friends are very rich and you do not want to bring them the need that they have. Maybe your friends are very wise that you don't want to be foolish to them by preaching the gospel. There is a tendency to compromise the gospel and to be deceived by false gospels. And how do we avoid that? We avoid that by coming back to the gospel. We avoid that by being devoted to the gospel. And in the passage that we will be dealing today, Paul gives us that. He gives us the foundation of our devotion to the gospel. Why should we be devoted to the gospel? What motivates us to be devoted to the gospel? Paul gives us that in our passage today. Shall we all turn to Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The text reads, verse 11, "For I make known to you, brothers, that the gospel which I am proclaiming as good news is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." The theme of this passage is the foundation for our devotion to the gospel. And where do I get that theme from? If you just look into these two verses, it might not be very clear to you. But if you look carefully, you will see that this verse starts with the word "for," showing that there is a connection to the verses that preceded it. What was Paul saying in the verses before it, in verses 8, verse 9, and 10? What was he saying? He was talking about his devotion to the gospel. He stood against false teachers and called them anathema. "Let them be cursed," that's what he said. And he did that out of his devotion to the gospel. He was so devoted to the gospel that he was ready to stand against false teachers and their teachings. He knew that he was a slave of Christ and that he cannot compromise so that he can please God rather than man. He cannot compromise. That's what he says in the preceding verses. So why is there such a great devotion in the life of Paul? How was he able to stand against false teachers and seek to please Christ and not man? What was the foundation of Paul's devotion to the gospel? He gives us that in today's verses 11 and 12. The foundation for our devotion to the gospel. And before we deal with that foundation, I think this is important to bring out as well. The way Paul presents the truth. What does verse 11 say? "For I make known to you, brothers." How does he address the Galatian believers? He calls them brothers. This is an endearing title. He's calling them. He wants them to repent. Yes, the Galatian believers has deviated from the gospel. And there's a very danger, great danger in that. And he's shocked by that. But he still loves them. He still calls them brothers. He shares the truth in love. That is what Paul is doing. He does not just show a devotion, but he tells them why he is devoted. We see his shepherding heart here. His care for the flock. And in that care, he preaches to them the truth in love. That must be true for us as well. We must share the truth, yes. But we must share the truth in love. When somebody deviates from the gospel, do we throw them out of the church? No, we call them to repentance. We care for them by sharing the truth in love. That is what we have to do, even as Paul did. But he also makes an appeal to the mind. Make note of this phrase. What does he say? "For I make known to you." He's appealing to the mind. Why do people deviate from the gospel? It's because they are not careful with their minds. That's one of the reasons why. Many people think that it's only emotions when we worship God. No, it's not true. We love our God with our all heart, with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength, with all of our might. Not only emotions. So he makes an appeal to the mind. And even today, as we come to this word, this message, I want all of us to be attentive to these truths. To use your minds. To cross-check with scriptures. To see if these things are so. And if it is true according to the scriptures, then let your mind be directed by these truths. Let your mind be changed by these truths. And let these truths finally drive you to a conviction to be devoted to the gospel. So Paul is appealing to your minds today. And I want to appeal to your minds today even. Paul, as he appeals to the mind, he gives two gospel truths that sets the foundation of our devotion to the gospel. Two gospel truths. The first gospel truth is found in verses 11 and 12. Leaving aside the last phrase. The first truth is this. The gospel is not human tradition. The gospel is not human tradition. What does Paul say in verse 11? For I make known to you, brothers, that the gospel which I am proclaiming as good news. There's a lot of false teaching in this church, the Galatian church. And Paul wants to make sure that it is his gospel that he's talking about. Among the many gospels that was introduced to the Galatian believers, he wants to talk about his gospel. He makes an emphasis here. I want to talk about my gospel, Paul says. Listen to me. I'm appealing to your mind about my gospel. And what does he say about his gospel? His gospel is not according to man, in verse 11. Is not according to men. The gospel is not human tradition. When he says it's not according to men, he's saying that man does not rule. Man does not govern the gospel that he's preaching. When you look into human traditions, who governs those human traditions? It comes out of man. They invent it. And they do with it whatever they want. Not so with the gospel. It is not human tradition. People do not have power, neither do they have authority of the gospel on the gospel, because it is not human tradition. The gospel does not change or bend according to the wishes of men, according to the needs of men even. It remains the same. Because it is not the tradition of man, which changes with time. But to make the statement even stronger, he gives us two descriptions about the way we receive the gospel that shows that the gospel is not human tradition. Two descriptions about the gospel. The first is, the gospel was not inherited. Paul did not inherit the gospel from man. Where do we see this? We see this in verse 12. Look into verse 12. For I neither received it from man. The gospel that Paul preaches did not come from man. Man did not give it to him. He did not receive it from man. How do we usually receive a property? When our father dies, when our parents die, what happens? The property is received by us. Not so with the gospel. That's not how the gospel came to Paul. He did not receive it from men. So, if it is not received from men, what do we do about it? Let's consider this example about marriage. How do we like to be married? We share rings with each other, right? That is a tradition of men. Men came up with that idea. And I think we are devoted to that thing. Are we not? We want to be married in that way. We want to wear white gowns. We want to wear suits. And we want to do it like everyone does. But is your devotion to the gospel greater than that devotion? Or any other tradition of men, whatever you may bring up, is it greater than your devotions to the traditions of men? Because the gospel is not received from men. It is not inherited. But the gospel is not only inherited, it is also not instructed in. It is neither inherited nor instructed. That's our gospel. Why do I say that it's not instructed? Because Paul says in verse 12, nor was I taught it. The gospel was not taught to it, to Paul. How do we receive scientific instructions today? Where do we get them from? We get it from schools, we get it from colleges, right? We get them from teachers who teach us about scientific things. Not so with the gospel. That's now not how Paul received the gospel. He did not sit under the teaching of men and then receive the gospel. That was not true with Paul. He received it not from men. Man did not teach the gospel to Paul. And he was contrasting it with Judaism here. How did he receive Judaism? How did he receive the traditions of men? He received it by sitting under the teaching of men. He himself says that he was taught by Gamaliel. Even in verse 14 of chapter 1 from the book of Galatians, what does Paul say in chapter 14? He says, "And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being far more zealous for the traditions of whom? The traditions of my fathers." He received it from his fathers. He was taught by human beings. But he says, he proclaims that the gospel that he preaches was not from man. It was not gospel, it was not human tradition. How do we take these truths? Be devoted to the gospel in a greater way than human traditions. I grew up in a school and I was introduced to this teaching about evolution. I also taught. I was a teacher for a year and I had to deal with that issue of having evolution in textbooks. So how do I do? How do I react when I'm a Christian and this theory of evolution, which is against God, comes forward? It's easy. I throw it away. Devotion to the gospel is greater than our devotion to human traditions. But let me make it harder for you. When I bring up evolution, maybe it might be easy for you. Let's consider Christian creeds. What do you give greater devotion to? Do you give it to Christian creeds? Or do you give it to the Word of God, the gospel that comes right from God Himself? To which are you greater? Do you have a greater devotion to? Which among these two are you more devoted to? Be devoted to God and His Word more than the creeds of men. And there is a place for the creeds of men as well. I'm not saying to you to reject it. But when you compare it with the gospel, then the gospel will always have a greater weight than even our creeds that we so love. So where did the gospel come from? If it did not come from man, if it was not human tradition, if it was not received from man, if it was not taught by man, then where did the gospel come from? Who gave the gospel to Paul? The gospel is heavenly truth. The gospel is not human human tradition. The gospel is heavenly truth. I was reading a book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, and I think that's introduced to all of you as well. There, Paul Tripp brings out an illustration about his wife and his children. His boys were playing outside, and then dinner was ready. So the mom said to the daughter, "Go and call out your brothers." The daughter went outside and then said, in a very commanding way, "Come for dinner. Dinner is ready. Come for dinner." She went back. What happened? I think you could have already guessed. The boys did not come. Why? Because it was their sister. So mom told the sister to go back and call the brothers. But this time it was different. She went out and then used two powerful words. "Mother said, come for dinner." And immediately the boys knew that it was time for dinner. And they went back. What am I trying to say? There is weight that comes when we know from whom the message is from. When we know from where or from whom the gospel comes from, then there is weight in that. And Paul wisely gives us that. He says the gospel is heavenly truth. In verse 12, how did he receive it? "But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. What does revelation mean? It means making something known which was not known before. The gospel was made known to Paul. He did not know the gospel, but the gospel was made known to him in a saving way. I think even as he was a Jew, the gospel was somehow introduced to him. But he was not saved by that. He did not knew the gospel in a saving way. But then the gospel was revealed by Jesus Christ himself to Paul. It was revealed. The thing that he did not know was revealed to him. He came to know the saving truths of the gospel. Why? Because Jesus Christ revealed it to him. For verse 12 says, "I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." There's a debate about how to understand this phrase. How to understand Jesus Christ in connection to revelation. Do we understand Jesus Christ as revealing, or do we understand Jesus Christ as being revealed? But for me, as I was studying this text, I came to the conclusion that here Paul is saying that Jesus Christ himself directly revealed the gospel to Paul. Where can I prove that from? Can we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 26? Acts chapter 26. Here, Paul is making a defense of his gospel. Defense about himself before Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, verses 15 to 18. Acts chapter 26, verses 15 to 18. He's talking about his Damascus Road incident. He says, "And I said," Paul is speaking here, "and I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said," Jesus is speaking, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and be placed among those who are sanctified. How? By faith in me. That's what Jesus said to Paul directly. Darkness to light, power of Satan to God, forgiveness of sins. All of this are phrases about salvation. It's about the gospel. And how do we receive all of those things? Jesus Christ himself declares to Paul that it is by faith in me. By faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus told Paul. So even as we come today, if you are not saved, then here is the message of the gospel directly from the Savior. You can receive forgiveness of sins by faith in me. If the gospel was directly revealed to Paul by Jesus Christ, and we received it from Paul through the scriptures, what are the implications? First implication is this: the gospel is true. The gospel is true. 1 John 5:20 says that Jesus Christ is true. And therefore, even his message is true. There is no falsehood in the gospel. There is no deception in the gospel. When you cling on to this truth, there is no way that you can be deceived, because this message is true. It has no falsehood in it. Different from the traditions of man, different from circumcision and what was preached to the Galatian believers, different from work-based salvation, this gospel is true. It does not deceive you, because Jesus Christ himself was true. And this message comes from Jesus Christ himself. But if the message comes from Jesus Christ himself, then the gospel is not only true, it is also unchanging. God does not change. Jesus Christ does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, even his message does not change. The message remains the same. The gospel does not change. You cannot change the gospel. When you go to your friends and you think it is foolish to talk about the gospel, why so old-fashioned? Thinking that it is old-fashioned, you cannot change the message, because the message is unchanging. Do not change the message to please men. But the gospel is also demanding. Why? Because it comes from our own Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. We were singing about Jesus Christ even a while ago. We were saying, oh, how we love you. How we love our Savior. Yes, we love our Savior because he died for us. And through him, we receive reconciliation. We have peace with God. The wrath of God was appeased. It was satisfied because of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we are saved today from the wrath of God. We are saved from hell itself because of Jesus Christ. And yes, we love Jesus Christ. But how do we show it? How do we show Jesus Christ as our only love? By being devoted to the gospel. It is your Savior's message that you are dealing with here. It comes straight from the lips of Jesus Christ to Paul and then to us through the scriptures. We have the unadulterated word of God, the unadulterated gospel with us. Do not adulterate it. Do not mix it with other things. Do not mix it with your own thinking. Do not mix it in a way that pleases men, but compromises the message of the gospel. The gospel must have our greatest devotion, not only our greater devotion, but our greatest devotion. For it is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us this message. Are you devoted to your country? You must be devoted to the gospel more. Are you devoted to your friends? You must be devoted to the gospel more. Are you devoted to your family? You must be devoted to the gospel more. The gospel must be your greatest devotion. The gospel must be our greatest devotion. Why? Because it is not human tradition. It is heavenly truth. You must have known about this person named William Tyndale. He was the one who translated the Bible. And because of whom we have the Bible today to read and be edified from, to understand it. His life brings out a great truth, how he was so devoted to the gospel. When one person came to him and then said, "We are better without the commandments of God than the Pope," he said, "I defy the Pope and all his laws." He stood against the traditions of men when the traditions of men went against the commandments of God. He stood against it. He stood strong against it. And what happened with him because of that? He was betrayed by his friend. He was arrested. He was hanged, strangled, and he was burned. Why? Because he was devoted to the gospel. And he wrote a letter to one of his friends named John Frith. It was his best friend, who himself was burned for the gospel. He said to him, "Your cause is Christ's gospel, a light that must be fed with the blood of faith. For to that end we were called. For Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." What did he say to his friend? "It is for the sake of Christ's gospel." He knew where the gospel came from. It came from Christ, who was his Savior. That was William Tyndale. He was devoted. Why? Because he knew that the gospel came from Jesus Christ himself. We can be devoted, even like William Tyndale. We can be, by knowing that Christ is behind the gospel. Do not be discouraged, brothers. Compromise is there. False gospels are there. But we can be devoted to the gospel, because God has graciously given us this gospel truths that helps us to have this foundation that cannot be shaken. This foundation that Christ is behind our gospel, our saving gospel. So cling on to those truths even as you deal with the challenges of sticking to the gospel. And God will surely help you in your time of need. He will surely help you. Let's bow down and pray. Father, we are thankful to you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the message of the gospel, which are able to save us. We have nothing on our own, no good works of our own, just a simple reliance of your Son, on your Son, and on his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for such good news that you have given to us, not because you saw anything in us, but just by your grace. And Lord, the troubles are many, false gospels are many. You yourself has promised that false teachers will come and will deceive many. And Lord, we as a church must stand against those things. Help us, Lord, to stand against false teachers and false gospels which go against you. Help us to know that you are behind the gospel, and that you will help us to be faithful to the gospel and not to compromise it to please men. Help us to know that we are slaves of Christ, and help us to live in that reality, to serve Christ and to be pleasing to him by being devoted to the gospel. Help us towards that end, for we pray in Jesus' name. Even as we come to the end of today's fellowship, let's all stand for the benediction. A reading from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus, equip you in every good thing to do his will, by doing in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who has reconciled us through his Son Jesus Christ, give us strength to go stronger in doing every good deed according to his will, to the praise of his glory. And all people say, Amen. Amen.